Moin moin, dear Rock the Prototype podcast listeners. I'm glad you tuned in. Today we are taking a look at an extremely important topic that is revolutionizing the world of IT security. Zero trust. We are asking the questions, why is the time-honored virtual private network, VPN, increasingly taking a backseat in the age of zero trust? We'll find answers to these questions and give you an insight into the future direction of modern security architecture. In the upcoming sessions, we will look at the limitations of VPN and shed light on the zero trust context, exploring alternative solutions to raise the security standards to a new level. You'll learn why implementing a zero trust approach requires new alternatives and how modern technologies can complement or even replace VPN. So sit back and enjoy this podcast episode full of insights and innovations. Let's get started. What is VPN? You've surely heard about VPN, but do you really know what it is and how it works? Don't worry, we'll explain it to you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and it allows you to establish a secure connection over the internet. It's basically an encrypted tunnel that allows you to access data and resources of a private network as if you were physically there. How does VPN work? Simply put, VPN routes your internet traffic through an encrypted tunnel provided by a VPN server. This server can be located anywhere in the world and allows you to disguise your IP address and anonymize your connection. Your data is encrypted before it leaves the VPN server and decrypted when it reaches its destination. This ensures that no one can intercept or read your communications. Common use cases for VPN. Now, you might be wondering what VPN is actually used for. Here are some common use cases. Security and privacy. VPN protects your data from hackers and prying eyes, especially if you use public Wi-Fi. It encrypts your connection and allows you to surf the internet securely without having your activities tracked by third parties. Access to geographically restricted content. With VPN, you can access content that is normally blocked in your country. For example, where you regularly connect to the internet or a region. By masking your IP address and connecting to a server in another country, you can access content from all over the world. Remote work and secure VPN connection in companies. VPN is often used by companies to provide secure remote access for their employees. Employees can access company resources from anywhere in the world as if they were on site at the office. This provides flexibility and productivity. Despite these legitimate and diverse use cases, VPN has reached its limit in the context of zero trust. In our next section, we'll discuss in more detail why VPN may no longer be an appropriate technology to meet today's demanding security requirement. Stay tuned. Zero Trust and its principles. Now we're looking at the Zero Trust model and take a look at its core principles. Are you ready for a paradigm shift? The Zero Trust model represents a fundamental shift in network architecture. Unlike traditional approaches that rely on trust-based networks, Zero Trust assumes that no user, device, or network is automatically trusted. Sound radical? Well, it is. The core principles of the Zero Trust model are: first, verification and authentication. Every user and device must be verified and authenticated before they granted access. Advanced authentication methods, such as multi-factor authentication, are used to ensure that only authorized individuals or devices are granted access. Second, fine-grained access control. The Zero Trust model relies on strict control and segmentation of access. Instead of granting broad permissions, access to specific resources and application is controlled based on individual permissions and policies. This minimizes the risk of unauthorized access or lateral movement on a network. Third, continuous monitoring and analytics. In a Zero Trust model, network traffic is continuously monitored and analyzed to detect suspicious activity. Behavior analytics and machine learning are used to identify, analyze, and detect threats early. This enables a fast and proactive response. Fourth, Zero Trust principle for each connection point. The Zero Trust model applies not only to external access, but also to internal connections within the network. Each connection point is individually checked and secured, regardless of whether it is a local device, a server, or a cloud resource. The paradigm shift to the Zero Trust model is a response to increasingly complex network structures and digital infrastructures threatened by cybercrime. By foregoing blind trust and implementing strict security controls, Zero Trust more effectively protects organizations like enterprises from threats and provides a significantly higher level of security. In the next section, we'll go into more detail about why VPN may not be the ideal technology for implementing the Zero Trust model. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Now we'll take a closer look at the limitations of VPN in the context of the Zero Trust model. Although VPN is a popular technology for secure remote connections, we encounter some challenges here. Let's take a closer look at them. First, inherent trust assumption. VPN is based on a trust-based model where once a connection is established, the devices and users are trusted. However, this is at odds with the Zero Trust principle, which aims to minimize trust and instead require constant verification and authentication. Second, challenges in ensuring identity and device state. For VPN connections, the challenge is to sufficiently verify the identity of the user and the state of the device. It can be difficult to ensure that the device accessing the network is actually secure and has no known vulnerabilities. Without comprehensive device verification, potentially insecure devices can gain access to the network. Third, scalability issues due to limited VPN capacity. VPN solutions often reach their limits when it comes to scalability. The limited number of VPN connections and the required bandwidth can quickly lead to bottlenecks, especially when many users want to access the network simultaneously. This directly leads to performance issues and significant limitations in the user's experience. Fourth, limited granularity of access control and low visibility of traffic. VPN often provides limited granularity of access control. It is difficult to control access to specific resources or applications based on individual permissions. In addition, VPN provides limited visibility of traffic, making it difficult to detect, analyze, and threats. Given these limitations, VPN may not be the ideal technology in the Zero Trust context at all. In the next few minutes, we will explore alternative approaches and technologies that better fit the Zero Trust model and enable more effective implementation. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Now we look at a modern Zero Trust technology that can complement or even replace VPN. These innovative approaches enable effective implementation of the Zero Trust model and offer numerous benefits. Let's take a closer look. First, micro-segmentation and network segmentation. technologies that enable fine-grained access control by dividing the network into isolated segments form the fundamental basis for greater IT security. Each segment is tightly compartmentalized, allowing only authorized users to access specific resources. Segmentation minimizes the risk of attack and increases security. Second, software-defined perimeter. Software-defined perimeter is an advanced method for secure connections without trust assumption. Instead of exposing the entire network, access to applications and resources is controlled individually and context-based. This enables fine-grained authentication and authorization so that only trusted users are granted access. The software-defined perimeter concept abandons the traditional approach of exposing the entire network. Instead, access to applications and resources is controlled individually and context-based. Software-defined perimeter is thus a modern alternative to the traditional VPN approach and supports the implementation of zero trust principles by providing secure and context-based access control. It is an enabling technology in the zero trust model that helps organizations improve their network security and effectively protect themselves from threats. Let's make it clear with an established technology for this concept. HashiCorp Vault is a platform for secure management of sensitive information such as passwords, credentials, and certificates. Using software-defined perimeter principles, Vault implements fine-grained access control and enables context-based authentication and authorization. This allows Vault administrators to set individual access policies for different users or applications. This means that each user can only access the resources for which they are authorized based on factors such as identity, roles, and permissions. By using this technique, Vault ensures strict separation of access rights and minimizes the risk of unauthorized access to sensitive information. It also provides comprehensive logging and auditing capabilities to enable seamless tracking of access and activity. In addition, Vault still provides various mechanisms for securing and encrypting stored data to secure the confidentiality and integrity of sensitive information. The HashiCorp Vault use case demonstrates how software-defined perimeter principles can be applied to enable secure and controlled management of sensitive information. By leveraging granular access control and context-based policies, Vault provides a robust solution for protecting sensitive data in enterprises. Third, identity and access management. IAM, for short, is a critical component in the context of zero trust and plays a central role in managing identities and access rights. An IAM solution enables secure authentication and authorization of users and ensures that only authorized individuals can access the required resources. The fundamental principle of IAM is to assign a unique identity to each user and grant access rights based on their roles and permissions. An IAM system takes into account several important aspects. First, there is authentication. The EAM enables verification of a user's identity through various methods, such as username and password, and as multi-factor authentication. Ideally, OpenID Connect-based. This can be done through integration with external identity providers such as Google EAM or AVS Cognito, or via an open source solution such as Keycloak. This ensures that only authorized users can access the system. Furthermore, authorization. EAM enables the definition of roles and permissions to control access to resources. Users are given only the necessary permissions to perform their tasks, and the principle of least privilege is applied. This means that users are given only the minimum permissions required to perform their tasks. An important part of EAM is user management. To this end, EAM provides user account management functions, including account creation, updating, and deactivation. It also allows users to be organized into groups or teams to enable efficient authorization management. Then comes access monitoring and logging. EAM systems enable monitoring of user activity, including access to resources. Log files can be used to detect suspicious activity and investigate security incidents. Some well-known EAM platforms include Keycloak, Google EAM, and AWS Cognito. While Keycloak is an open source solution for in-house use, the cloud platform solutions from Google and Amazon Web Services offer extensive identity and access right management capabilities and can seamlessly integrate it with existing applications and systems. Not so easy is the transfer of identities, so the EAM selection should be well considered. By implementing an EAM as a foundation for access control and identity management, we have a solid foundation for a zero trust framework. Our EAM ensures that only trusted users can access resources and support the paradigm shift away from a trust-based network architecture to strict access control and continuous verification of identity and permission. Now that we've characterized EAM components required for a zero trust framework, let's dive further into the topic of zero trust and address how we address two important principles in IT security: confidentiality and integrity. Confidentiality refers to the fact that sensitive data may only be viewed by authorized persons. Integrity means that data must be protected from unauthorized modification or manipulation. How do we ensure the security, integrity, and confidentiality of data? This requires technology and a strategy that prevents the loss or unauthorized disclosure of sensitive data. Why are confidentiality and integrity so critical in preventing data loss? Quite simple. Sensitive data such as personal or medical information, corporate secrets, or financial information must absolutely be protected from unauthorized access to comply with data privacy regulations and, of course, to ensure data security. At the same time, it is important to ensure that data cannot be altered or damaged during its transmission or storage. Data loss prevention. This is exactly where data loss prevention comes in. Data loss prevention refers to a specialized security discipline that implements an effective strategy to protect data. At a time when data is an invaluable resource and organizations face increasingly sophisticated threats, implementing an effective data loss prevention strategy is critical. Using mechanisms and technologies such as data classification, monitoring and detection, access control, encryption, and incident response will ensure that confidentiality and integrity are maintained. Data leaks, data loss, or unauthorized disclosure are actively prevented or quickly detected and responded to. Data loss prevention, then, is not just a security discipline, but also a strategic approach to protecting sensitive data and ensuring compliance with data protection regulations. Organizations today need to be proactive to counter the ever-growing threats and attacks on their data. But what exactly is data loss prevention all about? At its core, data loss prevention, or DLP for short, is about using mechanisms and technologies to effectively protect data from loss, theft, or unauthorized disclosure. A comprehensive DLP solution includes various functions that work in combination to ensure the protection of sensitive information. Let's now take a closer look at what functions a DLP component must contribute to ensure this protection. First, data classification. An effective DLP component enables the classification of data based on its sensitivity level. This allows organizations to identify which data is deemed most worthy of protection and what specific protection measures should be applied. Second, monitoring and detection. A DLP component monitors the flow of data and detects potentially suspicious activities or behavior patterns. This includes monitoring network traffic, email communications, or file transfers for unauthorized network activity. Continuous monitoring with automatic detection of unauthorized activities enables potential data leaks to be identified and averted in good time. Third, access control. An important function of DLP is to control and restrict access to sensitive data. This includes managing permissions, roles, and access rights to ensure that only authorized individuals can access the data. Fourth, encryption. A DLP component provides functions for secure encryption of sensitive data. Encryption ensures that even in the event of data leak, the information is unreadable by unauthorized individuals. Fifth, data loss incident response. In the event of a data leak or breach, an effective DLP component must have incident response mechanisms. This includes automatic or manual incident response to minimize the impact and take mitigation measures. These are just the essential functions that a DLP component must necessarily provide to ensure the protection of sensitive data. We are nearing the end of today's Rocks a Prototype podcast episode about the Zero Trust Framework. But before we say goodbye, I want to touch on a few important points to consider when implementing Zero Trust strategy. A critical factor in Zero Trust success is the comprehensive identification and elimination of all vulnerabilities in a network that is now augmented everywhere with cloud solutions and diverse internet access. Shadow IT, insecure operating systems, lack of knowledge of one's own attack surfaces or inadequate encryption, all these vulnerabilities of an IT must be taken seriously, addressed and eliminated. This is the only way to effectively arm ourselves against cyber attacks. As a first pragmatic step, it is advisable for every organization to conduct a comprehensive hardware and software inventory. This quickly provides a structured overview of the current security situation. With this information, IT teams can act in a targeted manner and take the necessary measures. Finally, three practical tips. First, it is critical to gain comprehensive visibility across all devices and resources that need to be monitored and protected. Without knowledge of existing resources and access points, it is not possible to protect them effectively. A comprehensive view is essential. Second, I recommend establishing strict controls that allow access to certain resources only to certain people under certain conditions. A fine-grained level of policy controls is required to ensure that access to sensitive information is appropriate and controlled. Last but not least, automation is an essential component of a successful zero-trust strategy. Automating processes can securely apply policies and enable the organization to quickly adapt the deviations from standard practices. Whether it is automation in update processes of used software and devices or partially and fully automated development strategies. Every automation is a way towards more IT security. Automation frees up space for relevant IT security measures and helps to focus on prototypical software development with customer-centric features and maximum usability. With these practical tips and a solid understanding of the Zero Trust framework, you'll be well equipped to take your security architecture to the next level and proactively address the ever-growing threats. I hope today's podcast episode provided you with informative insights into the Zero Trust framework. Stay tuned as we will continue to cover exciting topics related to IT security and data protection. In the next episode, we'll take a hands-on look at front-end development and explain our technology choices. You will always have the opportunity to get involved and actively participate in the design. Look forward to exciting discussions and new insights into the world of software development. You can find all information in the show notes and our website at rock-the-prototype.com. Whether you're already a more experienced developer or just diving into the world of programming, Rock's Prototype is a place for you. So subscribe to our podcast now and let's rock software development and prototyping together. If you have any questions or need more information, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Thanks for listening and see you on the next episode of Rock's Prototype podcast. Your Sascha Block.